translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The sage, thus regretting the sin committed by his own son, he did not take the insult paid by the king very seriously. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The whole incident is now cleared up. Maharaj Parikshit garlanding the sage with a dead snake was not at all a very serious offense. But Sringis cursing the king was a serious offense. The serious offense was committed by a foolish child only. Therefore, he deserved to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord. Although it was not possible to get free from the sinful reaction, Maharaj Parikshit also did not mind the curse offered to him by the foolish Brahmana. On the contrary, he took full advantage of the awkward situation, and by the great will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit achieved the highest perfection of life through the grace of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Actually, it was the desire of the Lord and Maharaj Parikshit. Rishi Samika and his son Sringi were all instrumental in fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So none of them were put into difficulty because everything was done in relation with the Supreme Person. Let's recite some prayers to the Bhagavatam and I'll start. This is by Sanatana Goswami from a Lila Krishna Lila Stava. Sarva Stabdi Payu Sarva Vidyukya Sat Pala Sarva Siddhanti Ratna Sarva Lokiya Drik Parda Sarva Bhagavata Pana Simad Bhagavat Prabho Kali Duda Bhadyatya Sri Krishna Pravetta Pramatanda Pataya Prema Vasya Aksiyate Sarvadra Sarvasevasya Sri Krishnaya Namostute Mad Eka Bandhu Mad Sangin Mad Guru Mad Mahadana Mad Nistrakara Mad Bhagya Mad Dhanana Namostute Adado Satyanto Dina Achincha cha chota kara ehe I ha na muchanto karachin mam premna kit katayo spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kaliyuga. You are actually Krishna who has returned amongst us. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For you symbolize the rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be observed by everyone, for you are the incarnation of Krishna. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my friend, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon me, upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So, in the second canto, chapter 3, text 1, Prabhupada gives something, on the Prabhupada gives some points about Maharaj Parikshit. So he said, Parikshit Maharaj is considered Manishyam, a person who is thoughtful. So in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada elaborates on this point. He says, out of many millions of living entities, millions and billions of living entities, everyone is engaged in animal propensities, it's very rare to get someone who's coming to the line of self-realization. And out of many thousands and thousands, someone may become like Maharaj Pariksit. So, some points I got from on. So, the name Pariksit means, observer examiner. So, when Maharaj Pariksit was in the womb, when the Brahmastra was thrown by Ashwatthama, he saw the Krishna's form in the Vishnu form with the disc and club and protecting him from the Brahmastra. So he was always looking for that person throughout his life. He was always trying to find that person. Now these are the qualities of Maharaj Pariksit. So that's the first one. He was the examiner. Maharaj Pariksit will maintain those born in his kingdom as King Iswaku. So you can say from that, like for example, when Kali came in to kill the cow and the bull, Maharaj Pariksit he challenged Kali, and he was going to kill him. And Kali surrendered. Then Maharaj Pariksit gave him some places where he could reside. So where the four principles were broken. But Kali couldn't find these places, no sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. Then Kali begged for one other place, which where gold is hoarded. So So it says actually that the crown that Maharaj Pariksit was wearing, Kali entered that crown by Krishna's arrangement. Something happened, he entered. And somehow he saw the Shamyaka Rishi and he was very thirsty. And he put the dead snake on his neck. And then with Sringi, he must have had some level of pride to say something against a king like this, so he cursed the king. Because in the Prabhupada says, although he was free from the reaction, because he was a boy, he was excused, but he wasn't free from the sinful reaction which was going to come to him from that action. So it seems from the from this how even as devotees we have to be careful in our dealings with others, because the material world is such that it's full of karmic reactions and three kinds of miseries, and the conditioned nature is strong, so it's not easy to overcome the conditioned nature. Just all of someone like Sringi was from a Brahmana family, so obviously Brahmins are regarded as very high in terms of people looking up to them. By the action what he did, I'm sure many other people will look down on him after what he did. But he was fortunate to have a good father like Shamyaka Rishi, who actually prayed to Krishna on the behalf of the boy. So somehow the things were rectified in a things rectified in his own way. He'll be like a born in the king of Ishvaku, maintaining his citizens. So like the example of how he stopped Kali from influencing the general masses of people. Next quality is what we maintain. He will be as true to his promise as Lord Ram. So Lord Ram was Marija Purushottam. He came as a perfect king to show the example to others. So King Parikshit was also in that line. He taught by his behavior and following the codes of scripture. Because it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam or in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam, somebody has mentioned how religious principles are set by a devotee by his example. Because it's hard to follow religious principles through scripture in itself. They have to be shown by the living example of those who are following it. Like I explained how the material world is governed by the three modes of nature, and in the material world even you require living examples to teach others to achieve their goals in life. Like someone wants to be a doctor, or he can't just read books and be a doctor. He has to go through the college and go on the examination like that. Then is so same thing with scripture. One has to go through the living teachers to achieve the perfection of becoming self-realized. So Lord Ram's example is there because even Lord Ram used to go out in the evening to see what the citizens were thinking about him as a king. And when he found that someone was talking about him banning Sita Devi, actually this person told his wife that, "I can't accept you back, because if Lord Ram banned Sita Devi, how can I accept you back? You're not following." So when Lord Ram heard that, then he actually banished Sita Devi, or something happened to that point where he heard that. And actually interesting, with this person who said that, the same person appeared in Vashyamana or something. He appeared in Krishna's pastimes again because of that reaction he did in Lord Ram's Leela. He had to take birth in Krishna's Leela to get the like he's mentioned here, you suffer the simple swing, you have to suffer the simple reaction. So one has to suffer the reaction what he says. One has to be very careful with words what he says. And it's explained how in Lord Ram's pastimes he did that. He had to wait a long time because Lord Ram appeared in the 24th millennium and Krishna appeared in the 27th, so he had to wait 3 millenniums to become purified for the word he said, which was to criticize Lord Ram. But Krishna's more merciful than Lord Ram, that in Krishna's pastime this person got purified. So in the same way he says how Maharaj Pariksit would like Lord Ram, he'll be generous with charity as a king. Oh, okay. Yeah. He'll be generous as charity with the king, as King Sibi. And he expand the family fame as Bharat, the son of Maya's Damayanti. So everyone knows the pastime of Sibi in the, I think, ninth canto, right? It's given how King Sibi was very charitable that Indra and Agni came to test him as an owl and hawk. And the hawk wanted to eat the pigeon or something. He wanted to eat the pigeon. And King Sibi wouldn't allow because the pigeon came to him for shelter. So King Sibi told the hawk, he's come to me with shelter, you can't eat him. I'll give you something else. But then King Sibi started to give his own flesh to the hawk. And then at some point he gave his whole body. So then they revealed themselves as Agni and Indra and they blessed him. So in that way King Parikshit was very charitable to his citizens to help them on the spiritual path. And Maharaj Damayanti, as his family fame as did with Maharaj, son of Maharaj Dushyanta. So he was considered a partial incarnation of the Lord. And he held religious principles very strongly in his kingdom. So then his bowmanship will rival Arjuna's. So he'll be as powerful as Arjuna in one sense, that he will be as irresistible as fire and as so unsurpassable as the ocean. So that shows in previous times the kings were very strong, that they could put people on the right path of self-realization. That's the difference between monarchy and democracy. Prabhupada explains that how a democracy, the masses vote the person, but the masses are not perfect in voting the persons. In previous times, the brahmanas used to vote the right person to be the leader. So Prabhupada called democracy demon crazy. People go by the... and because people vote these cheaters, then they get cheated themselves. So they can't blame the leader. So and he says he'll be... irresistible as a fire and as unsurpassable as the ocean. So we can see Maharaj Parikshit is very deep in his understanding of how to elevate people, and he is very strong like fire, that like he says Krishna is like hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. So in the same way, Maharaj Parikshit is in the same mood, that for the devotees he's very soft-hearted like the rose, but for the miscreants he's like hard like a thunderbolt. His ability to offer shelter will be like the Himalayan mountains. So the Himalayan mountains don't move, you know, they just stay still. It says even during the devastation of the creation, the Himalayan mountains still exist in there. They're just covered over. Everything is still existing at the time. So they're immovable. So King Parikshit was like, how do you say, he's like... very stable in his approach in terms of making everyone steady by his own presence. He will be as the earth and strong as a lion. So the earth, the example of the earth is given, that the earth is very forbearing. That so many people do nonsense to the earth, they're trying to cause disturbance, doing so many not nice things to disturb the earth, taking oil out and petrol, and they're putting poisons into the earth now, you know, like fertilizers, and they're trying to pollute the rivers and all these kind of things. Still the earth is forbearing. It's not... So Maharaj Parikshit will be like the earth, who is like very compassionate, very forbearing, and he in this way he will uplift the masses of people to spiritual realization in time. So when one is very strong in chasing an enemy, one should be okay. So as a lion, okay, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, one is compared to a lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be lamb at home and a lion on the chase. So, So, in other words, with devotees, we should be like loving and caring and reciprocation with Krishna Katha and like that. But with outside people who are not devotees, we should just be polite and respectful, that's it. But we shouldn't give our hearts to them. This is the point. Parikshit's equanimity will be like Yudhishthira's, and his magnificence like Shiva. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was very equanimity, he was very, how do you say, into morality. Whereas you take the Mahabharata explains how Lord Krishna told Arjuna how I can get the Kauravas to finish off the, I can get the Yadavas or the Vishnus to finish off the Kauravas. But Yudhishthira will not be happy because he was doing morality. But Arjuna was, Krishna's point of view was just to get the unwanted progeny out of the face of this earth and re-establish religious principles. Whereas mundane morality doesn't do that immediately. It leads to, it's got its flaws as well in terms of if it's not linked to Krishna consciousness, it can just lead to piety. Whereas spiritual piety leads to connection with Krishna's desire, which is the highest piety. So, Maharaj Parikshit was in the line of Arjuna. He just wanted to fulfill Krishna's desire. So the higher principle is to be like Arjuna and go by Krishna's desire, not like Yudhishthira, just go by morality. Because there was an instance in the Mahabharata how this is when Dronacharya was wiping out the army of the Pandavas. And Krishna told Yudhishthira Maharaj to tell a lie, that Ashwatthama is dead. Then in order to support that, Bhima killed an elephant called Ashwatthama. But still, Yudhishthira was hesitant to tell a lie. But he agreed. But when he said Ashwatthama, Krishna blew the conch. So Dronacharya didn't hear the word Ashwatthama. But because he didn't follow Krishna's instruction, for that, Yudhishthira Maharaj had to see hell. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanda ki jai. And another thing is, his chariot never touched the ground before. But after not following Krishna's instructions, his chariot touched the ground. So that shows how the higher principle is to follow Krishna's instructions than just to act on morality. Because ultimately the highest morality is to surrender to Krishna. So magnificence like Shiva. So Lord Shiva was very tolerant, isn't it? We look at the example of a Daksha Yagya. He was very tolerant, that he didn't retaliate against Daksha immediately. He just tolerated himself. Although Daksha was saying so many bad things about Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva didn't say anything. He just kept quiet. He will follow in the footsteps of Sri Krishna, and by constantly associating with the Lord through remembrance. So that's an example for us, that when we read the scriptures, we should not just read them like storybooks. We have to try and enter the scriptures by meditating on the Leela. Because the scriptures are not just ordinary books, they're like non-different from Krishna. And we'll take on his qualities. So my members will take on his qualities. So that shows how Krishna says that Prabhupada gives an example in terms of just like the fish and tortoise maintain their offspring from a distance, the fish look at the offspring and the offspring is born. The tortoise, they lay the eggs on the earth, but they go into the ocean to meditate on the eggs, and this is how the eggs hatch. So in the same way, Krishna says, I maintain everyone like these examples of these two. By meditating on me, the person is connected to me at all times. So that's Krishna's omnipotency, that he intensifies a remembrance of the devotee. So in this way the devotee becomes empowered by him, and also by being in connection with Krishna, he can also help others become Krishna conscious. Because it's given in Vishnu Chakra Thakur gives it in Madhura Kadamani how mercy is coming. He says mercy comes to a Madhyamadhikari devotee. Because if Krishna doesn't make he gives mercy to everyone, but at the same time it's not like distinction, like Krishna's not favoring one party and not the other party. His mercy is for everyone. So he's equal to everyone. But his mercy is given through a devotee. He sends a devotee to give the mercy to others. Otherwise, he won't be fair on everyone. If he's fair in one party, not the other party, he won't be fair on everyone. So the mercy comes through a devotee. In this way, the Krishna is giving the mercy through a devotee. He will be as magnanimous as Maharaj Rantidev. So Rantidev was very famous in the Bhagavatam. He fasted for 48 days, and I think the demigods came to test him. Anyone recall the story? I think there was some. He was going to break his fast. Then Brahmana came, right? Yeah, so Brahmana, Shudra and dog. Yeah, so Brahmana, Shudra and a person with the dogs came. And he was going to break his fast, but then he gave his food to them. And because of his tolerance, then they gave him blessings. So he says, like, so you can see, even in our line, the acharyas, Madhavendra Puri was also in that line of austerity, that he went to Manasik, one of the kuns in Govinda, around Govardhan Hill, he went. And he didn't ask anyone for anything, he would just chant Hare Krishna. And if someone came to him, then he would take something to eat, otherwise he would just fast. So Krishna was so pleased with that kind of behavior that Krishna personally came and gave him milk. So he'll be as religious as Maharaj Yati, as patient as Bali Maharaj. So Maharaj Yati, I don't know if anyone has any examples, I don't know much on it, but he was a good king. And his patience was such that although he went through so many difficulties, but he didn't give up in helping others on the spiritual path. At some point he also took shelter of Krishna at some point, Yati, King Yati, yeah. So that shows that even though one may go through difficulties, if one takes shelter of Krishna, then the difficulties will be easily overcome over. One can easily overcome the difficulties. And patience as Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was put to a test. Vamadev took his, by three steps, took all his kingdom away, and then he tied Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. And then Bali Maharaj just tolerated all this. And in this way he got the blessing of Vamanadev. Vamanadev gave blessing, he became his guard, security guard in Sutala. And as devotionally staunch as Prahlad Maharaj. So we can see how Prahlad Maharaj tolerated so many things. He had devotion to the Supreme Lord. So same way, Parikshit Maharaj, in the same way, how he did it. That he, and he will follow old and experienced men. So, he says there's three levels of seniority. There is advancement, initiation, and old people. You have to respect, give respect. So old person has to begin respect. The advanced person, like Sukadeva Goswami, he was 16, but people stood up when he came into the assembly. And initiation is part of also giving respect, because someone has made a vow to follow principles or spiritual vows, so that should be respected. He will father sage like kings, and for the sake of peace will chastise all opponents of religion. We are also getting this... Okay. So in this way, you can say in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, if we follow the teachings of what Prabhupada has given us, we are also in the line of Maharaj, Parikshit in the line, because the same knowledge is coming. So we are also like in the line of Maharaj, Parikshit in that sense. Any comments or questions? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. I just had a question in regards to, we see all these examples of extreme renunciation or like you were speaking about Madhavendra Puri and these kind of austerities that are very, very pleasing to the Lord. And I'm just wondering, how do we apply that in our lives, this kind of trying to please the Lord by something austerities or something? How do we practically apply that in our modern situation where that kind of renunciation isn't encouraged?
Well, the thing is, you have to know your level of spiritual advancement. So we're following sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is just the beginning of the line of ador sada tata sadhu sangha bhajana kriya. Nishta, Ruchi, Ashaktis, then Bhava, then like that. Someone who's on that level, like Madhavendra Puri or Srila Prabhupada, they've achieved the high level of Bhava and Prema. You know, you can't. They're coming. It says they're coming from the spiritual world, but we are sadhakas coming out of the material world. So we can't imitate the example. But at least we can appreciate what level they've done and come to that platform eventually. In time, you'll find how, as your body gets old, you can't do so much physical services. Then you see, even in our movement, devotees do that sometimes, like their body's getting old, they can't do physical, they get into more bhajan. Like Srila Prabhupada said in one of his letters to one devotee, he said, "I don't mind you doing 64 rounds, but can you tolerate the disturbances which are happening, which are going to come in when you're doing the 64 rounds?" Like that. So the point is, you have to know what level of advancement you're on. You can't imitate an advanced platform and you're not on that platform, you just fall down. Better to be on a platform you're on than come to the advanced platform. But it's good to hear these examples to show how depending on the holy name is everything. That's what Madhavendra Puri did. He just depended on the holy name. And that shows and Prabhupada did the same thing. In the beginning, when he started the Hare Krishna movement, what did he do? He started chanting Hare Krishna. But and then Prabhupada could see the people he was helping in the West. He analyzed them to see how to make them advance on the spiritual path. He gave appropriate instructions in terms of how to make them more strong in their spiritual practices. Like in the beginning, of ISKCON Prabhupada says 64 rounds. The devotees couldn't do it. They found it very difficult. Then Prabhupada said, okay, 32, then 16, no less. So like that.
Thank you, Guru.
Can I ask Sampraboo in answer to his question, to ask him a question. You have service each day where you're in the kitchen or wherever you're doing service, and you yourself come across austerities, in other words, difficulties. Those are the ones sent by the Lord. And actually, that is the tapasya you've been given by the Lord in your service. It's there anyway. It comes without you being sought. So as long as you're doing your service, but there are difficulties you have to go through. And that's your austerity. It's given you every day in some way. Sometimes there's not enough ingredients, there's not enough prasad, there's not enough whatever. And somehow or other, that austerity is given to you whenever you do your service. And it's God sent, if you see what I mean.
Thank you for the class. I had just a question to clarify a point when you spoke about Sringi, and you said that he was free from the reactions because he was a boy. But then you said, but he was still not free from the reactions. And my question is, the reactions or the sinful inclination that he was not free from?
Sinful?
Inclination, the desire, the pride, which make him make that. So my question is, we understand he was free from the reaction because he was a boy, but what was he not free from?
The sins.
The sins. Meaning?
Yeah. The whole incident now declared by Maharaj regarding the sage will be that snake was not at all a very serious offense, but Sringi's cursing the king was a serious offense. Serious offense was committed by this foolish child only, therefore he deserved to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord. He was not possible to get free from the sinful reactions. Is that what you're asking, yeah? Yeah, I mean, yeah, these things are hard to understand. I mean, because we're living in a material world, you're facing with people who are conditioned souls here, you know? So when you're dealing with outside people, it's not easy to please them all, isn't it? It's very hard to please them all. Maybe with devotees it's easier, because they, even pleasing devotees is not easy sometimes. Can be difficult. So it's an example to show we have to be careful in our words, what we say. But people may not take it easy. They may take it very seriously. Isn't it? But he was fortunate that he had a father who was a devotee of the Lord. So he prayed to Krishna to free him from his reactions. So the offense was mitigated. But at the same time, when you're dealing with people in the material world, it's not easy to please them. That's why he says in the seventh canto Bhagavatam that pleasing Krishna is easier than pleasing other people. Serving Krishna is easier than serving other people sometimes. Other people may demand so many things from you, but Krishna just wants your devotion.
Yeah. just wondering, from reading Prabhupada's purport, my understanding of Prabhu's question and the point that Prabhupada's making is that the offense was serious, but it was committed by a foolish child. Therefore, he deserved to be pardoned, but we couldn't escape the fact that still the age of Kali was going to be entered in by his act. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the sinful reaction had to be paid for by the age of Kali coming. But because he was a Prabhupada says as a foolish child, then he deserved to be pardoned by the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. There's also in that same vein, in that there is an element of pride in his sort of consciousness, element of ego, that obviously he's higher than the Kshatriya. There is that element of sin also within him, which is what his pious father is asking for pardon, as well as the act. So, yeah, we can understand in terms of the reaction, like Krishna, it's said in the scriptures that when we come to the platform of devotional service, the reactions are somewhat minimized for our karma. And so, yeah, reaction will be there for him, but it will be therefore minimized because he's come to devotional practice.
Okay. Any questions? I think the Mataji's got a question there. You can just pass it on to the Mataji.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. Really good class. I was just wondering, at one point it was mentioned that we should be loving towards the devotees and polite to non-devotees. I just wanted to clarify that point because I thought that we needed to cultivate an equal vision towards everybody, and especially in our preaching, we have to have our hearts open towards everybody. So will that not create a bias when we go out there in the world, you know, and try to preach Krishna consciousness?
Well, there's a story of the crocodile and the monkey. Famous story. One time a crocodile told the monkey, "Would you ride on my back?" So the monkey agreed. So when the crocodile went across the river, he told the monkey, "I'm going to cut your heart in half and eat it with my wife." So the monkey told the crocodile, "I left my heart on the tree. Can I go back and get it?" So then the crocodile agreed. The monkey jumped on the tree, didn't jump on the crocodile again. So the moral of the story is, you can be nice to people, but don't give your heart to them. So you give your heart to the devotees. Give your heart to Krishna. Because outside people, they have hidden agendas. They're not willing to serve Krishna's purpose. So just to keep the peace, you be polite with them. It's like, I'll give you an example. Like, I think there was some country recently where the devotees were not very nice with they didn't have a good relationship with the leaders or something, you know. And because they didn't have that good relationship, they caused a disturbance in the country. They actually, I think it was in where Maharaj is preaching, Atmanirbhar Maharaj, Malaysia, is it Malaysia or Indonesia, where even Atmanirbhar Maharaj is preaching, his place, where the devotees have some level of relationship with the leaders there. So the leaders are allowing them to carry on and no disturbance. But if you go heavy with the leaders by giving them the Krishna conscious philosophy, telling them that, you know, you're a demon, you should surrender to Krishna, they'll just kill you. They won't allow you to stay in the country. Happened in South Africa, West Africa, where these devotees have the Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's zone where they were preaching, and one lady, she actually wrote a letter to the leader there, that why don't you, you know, what you are doing. Before, he was a nice person with devotees. But when she wrote this letter telling the leader that, you know, what you're doing is not the best thing, you should surrender to Krishna. If you don't surrender to Krishna, you're a demon, things like that. A leader came with his army and killed the devotees. So with these kind of people in the material world, you have to be diplomatic. You can be nice and polite, but don't give your heart to them.
So we should only give our hearts to Krishna. Yes, you're right.
This is it. Yeah. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.